Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
A factual data creation facility production.
Recorded in front of a live audience of one, it's the OFNT podcast for the last time in 2025. Here's your host, Jim Schaefer.
Welcome to the OFNT Podcast, episode 301, which I'm calling Yearly Wrap-Up. I hope you had a great Christmas holiday. I had a nice quiet one, which is exactly how I like it. The gifts were few, but very much appreciated. The food was delicious as usual. And of course, the company was great. By company, I mean my lovely wife and my son. Now it's on to New Year's. Well, I guess I'll start this. The last episode of 2025, right now. Tech news. Of course, this was a very slow week for tech news. Most of the stories were actually written a while ago and saved for dropping during Christmas and New Year's week. Now comes the slow wind-up towards the spring tech season. From what I've been seeing on my news feeds, expect to be paying more for tech this coming year, as memory and manufacturing costs have increased significantly.
Perhaps you should have bought more tech this year, then.
You know, I'm doing well as far as tech goes. Then again, maybe I should have upgraded to a new Mac Mini. Too late now. If you're a fan of the still new iPhone Air, well, I've got some good news for you. Maybe. According to an article on 9to5Mac.com, a leaker who haunts Chinese social media platform Weibo and goes by the name Fixed Focus Digital is claiming that Apple will debut a second generation of its thin-as-in iPhone next September. Of course, this contradicts early reports that either the iPhone Air has been completely dropped from the iPhone lineup, or that it will be 2 years until a redesigned dual-camera version is released. Fixed Focus Digital also predicted that the second-generation Air will in fact be getting that other camera. Meanwhile, supply chain analyst outfit The Information says that Apple will be also lowering the price of the iPhone Air.
I was with you until the price-lowering prediction. With memory and manufacturing costs steeply rising next year, as you pointed out in the introduction, how can this prediction be considered valid?
You know, that's a good point. Perhaps Apple will construct this new iPhone Air using plastic instead of metal.
Now you're just messing with me.
Yes, I am. Could you imagine a phone as thin as the iPhone Air made from plastic?
I don't know.
No.
Both Fixed Focus Digital and The Information agree that the iPhone 17e has entered mass production and will be introduced in a spring launch event. The Information also predicts that the iPhone 17e will be a small upgrade from the 16e, gaining a C1X modem and MagSafe only. No dynamic island, no ProMotion display, and probably no center stage selfie camera either. Disappointing, sure, but you gotta remember, the E series of iPhones are a replacement for the SE series of iPhones. The mission for the SE and now the E series phones is to bring a no-frills iPhone at a reasonable price to market. This model serves as an affordable entry point into Apple's ecosystem for young consumers, not so well-off consumers, consumers who want a good basic iPhone, and old farts like myself who, unlike me, aren't nerds. Though many would disagree with me, especially those who work for the tech press, I think the E series hits that mark and hits it quite well. Being that I'm an old school nerd, I would need a 120Hz refresh rate and a dynamic island before I'd consider an E-Series for myself. I don't think I'll have long to wait, though. Probably within, I don't know, about 3 years, the iPhone E-Series will have all those features. Tim Cook's top priority product could finally take shape next year, is the headline of an article from 9to5Mac.com.
What is Tim Apple's top priority product? I'm asking for a friend.
Well, that would be augmented reality glasses. The article quotes Bloomberg.com and Bloomberg's leaker du jour, Mark Gurman, as predicting that we'll be seeing these spectacles come sometime in 2027.
Wow.
Yay!
According to Gurman, Apple will be releasing a version of these glasses in 2026, but they won't have augmented reality functionality. No, they'll just be a stopgap product that will feature Siri and function as an iPhone accessory, much like the Apple Watch does now.
Apple must be feeling the heat from Meta and Samsung.
Yeah, they are. The giant fruit company doesn't want to fall behind like they did with AI. These Siri-based glasses will also serve as a basis for the future augmented reality overlay version. This is all well and good, but I doubt we'll be seeing the augmented reality version until 2028 or beyond. Samsung will likely beat Apple to the punch here. Being a prescription lens glasses wearer myself, I am interested in this product, but I fear it'll come too late to market for me to even consider bothering with it. Now, what would be an end-of-the-year episode without an in-memoriam section? Instead of people, MacRumors.com put together a list of devices that Apple discontinued in 2025. Now, most were replaced by new models, while some weren't. For iPhones, we said goodbye to the iPhone 16 Pro Max, which was succeeded by the iPhone 17 Pro Max, the 16 Pro, which was succeeded by the 17 Pro, the iPhone 15 Plus, the iPhone 15, the iPhone 14 Plus, the iPhone 14, and the iPhone SE, which was grieved over more than the others. iPads and Apple Watches were all replaced with updated models, but the M2-chipped 13-inch MacBook Air, which hung around longer than expected, was discontinued.
Probably to be replaced by that A-series chipped powered MacBook.
I guess. I think the M1 13-inch MacBook Air is still available at Walmart, but when the A-series chip so-called cheap MacBook arrives, that M1 Air will be discontinued. Oh, and lest I forget, the old Lightning cable disappeared completely in 2025 in favor of the now widely adopted USB-C cable. Popular YouTube channel Jerry Rig Everything managed to get a hold of an example of the new Samsung Galaxy Z trifold phone.
Wow.
The channel puts phones through torture tests to see how durable they really are. Unfortunately for the Galaxy Z trifold, it didn't fare as well as the previous Z Fold models. The trifold phone did well during the heat and scratch tests, but the foldable screen material is still soft like its predecessors. That's to be expected. The bigger problems were with the dirt and bend tests. It appears that the trifold phone isn't very resistant to pocket lint, sand, or dirt in general. You could hear a grinding sound from the hinges, which is an important part of the Galaxy Z trifold. This dirt problem can contribute to premature failure of those hinges. The bend test was a disaster, as one bend of the screens in the wrong direction causes the display to go dark. As I've and many have long suspected, foldable phones are much more delicate than non-foldable types, and the more folds there are, well, the more delicate the phone is. The current state of foldable phones, especially these new trifold types, make them a bad investment in my opinion. Until technology catches up, I wouldn't consider purchasing one of these. According to an article on 9to5google.com, the Big G is going to let you do something with your Gmail account that could save you some hassle.
You mean like stopping them from scraping data from your mailboxes?
Unfortunately, no. But that would be nice, wouldn't it? What Google is going to let you do is change the username on your Gmail account. Currently, to accomplish this, you have to create a new Gmail account and transfer everything over to the newly created account. This can be quite the task, depending on how much email you receive. This also benefits Google itself. By allowing users to change their usernames, there will be less new accounts being created, and this will make deleting old, unused accounts easier to accomplish. However, this new feature is based on a recently updated Google support page in Hindi, and that's the only place it appears at so far. I do feel Google will implement this feature Gmail-wide, though. That's because it's a true win-win situation. Too bad it comes late for me. I currently have two Gmail accounts that I actually use. One is for this podcast, and the other is for semi-personal use. All other Gmail accounts I've created over the years are dormant. I've migrated my Mission Essential email to other, supposedly more secure services. As far as I know, these secure email services don't scrape my data. According to the Google Hindi support documents, the ability to change your Gmail account's username will be rolling out to users slowly. There are some restrictions to this new policy, though. The main limitation is that if you do change your username, you won't be able to create a new Gmail account for 12 months. You can read about the other restrictions on 9to5google.com at your leisure. Well, that's the last tech story I'm going to report on until next year.
That old gag.
Tech I'm using. So what new tech did I get for Christmas? Not much, really. I got a pair of the third generation of AirPods Pro and a case for them. Both for my lovely wife.
Wink, wink.
For my son, I got an electric razor for shaving my head.
Can that really be considered tech, though?
Well, close enough. Hey, see what I did there? You know, razor close? Forget about it. This Philips head shaver replaces a cheap Barbasol-branded one that I bought for about $10 at a local discount outlet last year. I use Barbasol razors for shaving my face and used to use them for shaving my head as well.
So you're going for that Mr. Clean look, are you?
Yeah, I was lucky enough to have retained most of my hair until my late 40s. Once it started going, though, it went fast. The problem was my male pattern baldness looked uneven and stupid, so I decided to just shave all my hair off. Speaking of Barbasol, the company has just withdrawn from the razor cartridge market, and starting next week, they will only be selling shaving cream products and disposable razors. I guess that's why that electric head shaver was so cheap. I'm really going to miss those razor blade cartridges, though.
Maybe you should start a new section dedicated to grooming.
Okay, I get what you're saying. I bought my wife a 13-inch iPad Air along with a simple case for it for Christmas. My son uses my old second-generation 13-inch iPad Pro. And, of course, I have an M4 chip 13-inch iPad Pro. My poor wife was using an 11-inch base model iPad from 2023. She probably uses her iPad more than my son and I use our iPads combined. The iPad is her main computing device, so a bigger screen would be better for her. I'll be getting her a Bluetooth keyboard case to go along with her new iPad for her upcoming birthday. I haven't yet decided on whether to get her Apple's keyboard case or going with a third-party solution. I got my son a Samsung 2TB internal SSD for his gaming rig, along with an electric toothbrush. That's a bonus for my wife. She inherits my second generation's AirPods Pro, being I now have the third generation Pros. These will replace her first generation AirPods Pro she was using. I spent much of Christmas morning setting up first my new AirPods, then my wife's hand-me-down AirPods, and finally her new iPad Air. Of course, my son didn't require any assistance for installing his new SSD.
No.
As when I was setting up my own iPad Pro back in October, I couldn't use my wife's old iPad in order to transfer the data over to the new one. Instead, I was forced to use a backup of her older iPad to do so. Our new iPhones were able to use our older iPhones to set up the new one, so I don't know what the problem is with using the same method for iPads.
It's most likely a you problem.
It probably is. While setting up the new iPad Air, I immediately saw how much better its screen is in comparison to her old base model. The sound is much better too. The AirPods were simple to set up, both my new third generation and my wife's second generation hand-me-downs. Speaking of my third generation AirPods, Apple has finally provided rubber tips that actually fit my ears. In the past, I had to resort to buying third-party tips in order to get a good seal for my AirPods. Of course, I've compared my second and third generation AirPods to each other, and there is a slight improvement in sound and noise cancellation. The third generation pods have reduced some of the muddiness of the second generations, but I still prefer the sound of my old BeatFit Pros that I use while exercising. I really haven't messed around with my new AirPods yet, so I'll update you when I get the chance. The head shaver my son gave me is a huge step up from what I had been using. I'll no longer require the use of razor blades for shaving my head. In fact, I'm so impressed with the Philips head shaver that I'm considering ditching my Panasonic Arc 4 in favor of a Philips i9000 razor. If that electric razor works as well as the head shaver, I might become razor blade free. So last Wednesday, I did a live Peloton ride reserved for champion members.
Really? And what are you a champion of?
Well, let me explain. Peloton has instituted different levels as you earn points performing various workouts and tasks. Levels range from bronze to legend. Champion is one level below legend. The idea is that you get rewards for the different levels. This reward system just started last month. One of the rewards is access to live rides exclusively for your level. Last week, Peloton had a ride for legend members, and this week, champion members. I don't know if the other levels will get their own rides or not, but if they do, well, that kind of defeats the purpose of the whole reward system, don't you think?
Yes.
Supposedly, in the future, there will be different types of rewards, but I can't imagine what they'll be. The live ride was a 20-minute pop music ride led by instructor Cody Rigsby. Not my favorite instructor or music genre, but Cody was on good behavior for once. That's probably because he only had one last class until he went on his holiday break. It wasn't the best live ride I've taken, but it wasn't the worst I've had either. This level and reward thing was launched at the same time Peloton released their new lineup of AI-enhanced hardware called Cross Training with Peloton IQ. Peloton IQ is just a camera mounted on the bike's display, based on an older, now discontinued product, which I don't recall the name of right now. I've heard that this new hardware line isn't selling well, which explains why Peloton is offering steep discounts on them. For about $600 more than I paid for my regular original bike, I could get a cross-training bike plus. Besides the Peloton IQ module, which I wouldn't be using much, I'd gain a larger monitor that can tilt and auto-resistance setting. Neither would be worth it to me. Now, if Peloton offered some sort of trade-in, well, then I'd consider upgrading. Well, as the year 2025 winds down, some expected products from Apple and others didn't make an appearance. The updated Apple TV streaming box, which was rumored to have a camera or at least the ability to connect to an external camera, was a no-show. That was the only product that would have been an instant purchase for me. Apple's Echo Show competitor still remains a rumor, probably due to the updated digital assistant Siri not being ready yet. I'm not really interested in this product anyway. The mock-ups of it resemble a full-size Apple HomePod with an iPad mini attached to it, and it looks as if Dr. Frankenstein himself had designed it. The price for this thing will be too high also. The 8-chip-based MacBook hasn't yet made it to market. Again, I have no interest in this product for myself, but I do have 6 grandsons that I would consider buying one for when they come of age. Updated AirPods Max are long overdue, but then again, I don't think the market for these over-the-ear headphones is large enough for Apple to pay much attention to. Outside of the giant fruit company, the one product that I was anticipating and would have certainly purchased was the Tesla self-driving car. In late spring, Elon Musk announced that Tesla was going to produce a true self-driving car that would come in at a price of $25,000, and it would be released before the end of 2025. Well, it didn't happen.
No.
This automobile would have solved a couple of problems for me.
Like fewer trips to Walmart with the one who must be obeyed?
That would have been the major problem solved, along with saving wear and tear on my primary vehicle. I guess the Tesla self-driving car is what we used to call vaporware.
Yes.
Tech products I'm considering for purchase in 2026 are new over-the-ear headphones for editing episodes of my podcast, and that's about it. Now, maybe a better soundbar for my home entertainment system eventually. My next iPhone will probably be the 20th anniversary model that's due in 2027. Hopefully my Mac Mini should last me until at least 2028, though I'd like a new display for it, but that's not a priority right now for me. What tech are you considering for 2026? Entertainment news. During the downtime of the holiday season...
You're retired. Your whole life has become downtime.
That's sort of true, but because of the lack of stuff to get together for the podcast and not having to worry about shopping for presents and things, I had a little more time on my hands. Anyway, I've been using that time perusing my paid subscription services in search of something to watch, specifically a movie. Needless to say, I've been disappointed. I don't know if that's because I'm out of touch with modern trends or the industry just isn't producing movies that I would like to see. Perhaps it's a bit of both. Thank goodness there are plenty of good and great television series being made. I've got a few that I'm watching in season, and a few I'll catch up on while my lovely wife is away. She's leaving early next month for her annual trip to the old country. Let's hope that 2026 brings a rebirth of well-written and entertaining movies back. I'm up for a gritty private detective movie that doesn't take place in Los Angeles. Is that too much to ask?
Here's looking at you, kid.
No one will get that reference. No one.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Podcast news. As I reported on previously, iOS 26.2 brought with it a welcome change to the Apple Podcast listening app. Automatically generated chapters and podcast links are now live. The podcast links are generated by the host mentioning the shows during the podcast. The chapters are obvious, but the podcast links are not part of the episode transcript as I thought they would be. Instead, they're right under the show notes, if there are any, in their own separate section. It takes a while for the transcript, chapters, and links to appear, though. To view them, you'll just have to be patient. Regardless, these updates are solid and greatly improve the once-anemic Apple Podcast listening app. If Apple ever decides to add live streaming with notifications, well, it would become my main podcast listening app. That's mostly due to its complete compatibility with CarPlay. I do most of my podcast listening while driving somewhere in my car. Not much else is happening in podcasting right now, so I'll give you my year-end State of the Podcast report.
Is it going to include things about audio interfaces?
While audio interfaces will be mentioned, I won't go into detail. I'll save that for next year. Over the year, I've unfortunately lost more listeners. Not many, but I wish I had gained listeners instead. In order to do so, I've upgraded my audio interface twice. First with a Presonus ES2, which sounded better than what I had been using, but required more work. In October, I took advantage of a sale on Amazon and bought a Rode Rodecaster Duo. The Duo is a very capable device, but ease of use is not in its product description. It does have microphone presets that are supposed to make all processing settings for you, but I didn't find any of them suitable for my uses. I always come off sounding bass-heavy and muddy when I use those presets. Information on how to use the settings manually is not readily available, even on YouTube. I think I have my audio sound to where I like it now, So it's on to learning the other features that I'll be using in the future. I may mess around with other interfaces, but the Rodecaster Duo is what I'm sticking with. I'll be trying out new things during next year, rolling them out slowly instead of changing everything at once. Might even start up the old Fringe Dispatches show again. If I do, I don't know how long it will last, because I get frustrated reporting on political things.
So why would you dip your toes back into politics again?
Because people seem to like those sort of shows. I'll give it one more try. The format will be revamped from what it was in previous iterations. I'll let you know when Fringe Dispatches relaunches, if I do decide to relaunch it, that is. I would like to have guests and do some remote reporting on the OFNT podcast in the future, and I'm working on that. I have all the equipment I need, so that's not a concern. I'm open to suggestions on how to improve the OFNT podcast. If you have any recommendations for me, email me at ofntpodcast@gmail.com. I'll give you a shout out. I'll wrap this all up by giving a list of my favorite podcasts from 2025. The podcast I most listened to was the No Agenda podcast. Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak host this show and have been doing so since 2007.
Wow!
Their specialty is deconstructing the news media. For news stories, I listen to the Daily Tea podcast. Though the stories mostly concern happenings in the UK, they do cover items from all around the globe. The Daily Tea podcast is from the Daily Telegraph news organization, and they produce a stable of very informative shows, well, at least in my opinion. For news about Apple, I listen to the Mac Rumors Show podcast. It's one of the few that doesn't get political. For news about the podcasting industry, specifically about the Podcast Index and Podcasting 2.0, I listen to the aptly named Podcasting 2.0 podcast. It's hosted by Adam Curry and is both informative and entertaining. Most podcasts I listen to these days are audio dramas. Either they're about a dystopian future or horror. I'll just list their names without a description. The No Sleep podcast, which is the granddaddy of them all. The Strata. The Gentleman from Hell. Ominous Thrill. Haunted, the audio drama. Conversations with Ghosts. The Antiquarium of Sinister Happenings. The Sleep-Wake Cycle. Well, these are the podcasts that I listen to the most. Check them out. Most are independently produced. If you have any recommendations for me, just drop me an email and I'll check out your recommendation. The music is playing as episode 301 of the OFNT podcast, and it's the last episode of 2025, begins its ending. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed making it for you. If you like what you heard, well, you can make a donation using the link in the show notes. Any and all donations will be greatly appreciated. You can always reach me at ofntpodcast@gmail.com, and that's only if you're so inclined. I'd enjoy hearing from you. Remember, don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do. Well, I'm telling you for the last time this year, get off my lawn. Stay skeptical. I'm out. See ya. Oh, before I go, I'd like to wish you a happy and prosperous new year. See you next year.
Go!
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, y'all.
Happy New Year!
Thank you.
New Year. Okay, British AI guy, do your thing for the last time this year.
And that, folks, is the end of the show.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.